1 week from tomorrow night at sunset, we will open the Feast of Tabernacles. The time between now on this Sabbath day and sunset on the last great day, or eighth day, whichever you prefer, will fly by. That time will be gone in a blink. The fall holy days will then be over, and we'll certainly have some sadness accompanied with that. But it's not over yet. In fact, we've only just begun God's fall holy days for this year. We have so many wonderful things to experience in the next 2.5 weeks. Sermonettes and sermons of the millennium and God's kingdom will be given. That will certainly be inspiring and uplifting, helping us to resharpen our focus about the meaning of the Feast of Tabernacles. We'll also have wonderful time with our families and our friends, sharing God's beautiful creation. I know a lot of the feast sites are spread out at the ocean to enjoy the sun and the surf. Other feast sites are in hilly and mountainous areas, and which are my favorite. I just love to go to the mountains. I hate humidity. I hate heat. And I'm going to Puerto Vallarta, Mexico for the feast. But I'm sure I'll have a good time. It should be very special. We'll also be able to go out and experience and enjoy delicious meals. Probably some of our meals will even be better than what we could afford during the rest of the year. And that's good because that's the way it's intended to be. God asked us to set aside 10% of our income as His second tithe so that we can enjoy a period of time that is better than the rest of the year. It's going to be a tremendous time over the next 2.5 weeks. We have so much to gain over the next 2.5 weeks. But if we don't approach it with a plan and focus, we'll look back at the end of the feast and think, I didn't get what I should have from God's fall holy day season this year. And if we have those thoughts at the end of the fall holy days, that would be a shame. But now, right now, we have the chance to stop and focus and make sure that we don't have that feeling at the end of the feast. We have an opportunity to prepare as we've just now started in to God's fall holy day season. Prepare to get as much as we possibly can from God's fall holy day season. This week, this past Monday on the Feast of Trumpets, we entered God's fall holy day season. This special spiritual season was created and given to us by God so that we can be spiritually rejuvenated. And not just spiritually rejuvenated, it's physically rejuvenating as well. Physically relaxing to take time off from our regular jobs, to leave the stress of everyday life behind us. So God designed this fall holiday season for us, to benefit us, to help us to draw closer to Him in a more focused way. We cannot afford to casually enter this fall holiday season. We can't. And it would be easy to do so. Today I would like to cover a few steps towards making this the best fall holiday season ever. The title for my sermon is Worship, Rejoice, and Serve. Worship, rejoice, and serve. And that title will actually comprise the main body part of my sermon today. We'll have 3 points. The first point is, remember, it's a time to worship God. Remember, it's a time to worship God. We gather together for a purpose. On the Sabbath, certainly on all the holy days, and specifically now we're into the fall holy day season, we are gathering together, whether it be for trumpets, atonement, the Feast of Tabernacles, or even the Last Day, we gather together for a purpose. That purpose and our focus should be to give praise and worship to our Father who is in heaven. That should be our intent now. Preparing ourselves, preparing our mind to be focused on our overall reason and purpose for gathering together. And that is to give praise and worship to God. And we do this by our, as our tradition and also as God commands us to do from His Word. But it's not just for this time. It will also be this way in the millennium, as Mr. Goad turned to. If you would, go ahead and turn to Zechariah chapter 14. We'll read verses 16 and 17. We've read these two verses many times. And we usually look at these two verses to see that the Feast of Tabernacles, the Fall Holy Day season, will be observed in the millennium after Christ's return. But I want to focus and zero in on particularly the purpose of why these nations will be gathered together at this time. Verse 16. And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year. Why? To worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. You see, nations will be gathering together to observe the Feast of Tabernacles, but they're going to gather together at Jerusalem to worship Jesus Christ and God the Father. Verse 17, and it shall be that whichever of the families of the earth do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, on them there will be no rain. God makes it very clear that if they do not come up, not just to keep the Feast of Tabernacles, but if they do not come up to worship the King, refusing to pay God His glory and to give worship to God and to Jesus Christ, they will be punished. We must keep our focus on our purpose as we enter this fall holiday season and as we observe these days. Our worship of God is played out in a number of different ways as we gather together on the fall holy days. Certainly our worship to God is done in our thoughts and in our actions. In our thoughts and in our actions. Also in how we treat one another. It's important that we control our thoughts and focus our thoughts, focus all of our actions and what we do, how we treat one another, focus those to doing what God has instructed us to do. Really control your thoughts and get them geared up towards this fall holiday season. When we attend services, whether it be on the Feast of Trumpets, during the Feast of Tabernacles, on the Day of Atonement, or the Last Day, going to services is showing worship to God. Just going and being there shows that I am yielding to the supreme being of the universe, to God Himself. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 through 25. Let's go ahead and turn there real quick. Another verse we're all very familiar with. Hebrews 10, verse 24. It says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. That should be our focus as we head in to this fall holiday season. Let us consider how we can stir up love towards one another. And not just love, but even good works towards one another. How can we do that on an individual basis? Well, it begins, as it says in verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. God wants us and has called us to assemble on these fall holy days. To gather together. To share this time together. to be with one another. And when we're with one another, our focus and our thoughts and our actions should be towards giving love to one another. Stirring up good things, good works towards our brother. These fall holy days have been kept by God's people from the beginning of man's creation. As soon as God created physical man, He taught physical man about His holy days. And these days have been kept to one degree or another from the beginning of man all the way to our day today. And our worship begins with our assembling together as we're instructed. Deuteronomy chapter 16. We'll begin reading in verse 13. Deuteronomy chapter 16. Verse 13 says, "You shall observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days when you've gathered from the threshing floor and from your wine press." God is very specific how many days we are to observe the Feast of Tabernacles. 7 days. And we've already seen that back in Zechariah that it requires us to assemble, to come together. So for 7 days, we're to come together and to keep this Feast of Tabernacles. Verse 15. Again, it says, 7 days you shall keep a sacred feast to the Lord your God in the place which the Lord your God chooses. Because the Lord your God will bless you in all of your produce and in all the work of your hands, so that you will surely rejoice. God says that He will bless you. He's preparing this time for us. It's a time for us to gather together for 7 days. He doesn't say, come when you can, come if you can make it. Obviously, there'll be times when sickness is involved and we shouldn't show up, because we'll pass those germs on to other people and make others sick. That's not a manner of love. But if we're healthy and God has given us the ability to be there physically, then we need to be there. We need to be there all 7 days. Set our minds and our hearts to want to be there. You know, there's been times in the past, and you've probably heard of it in the past as well, and when people have made decisions that, well, there's this really neat sporting event over in such and such city, and they'll head out early in the morning and won't attend Sabbath services, won't assemble together with the brethren, and they'll come back late at night. That's not the intent of the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles is to be there as God commands us 7 days. Every day assembling together if we're physically able to do so. On the Feast of Tabernacles and during the Feast of Tabernacles, it is not a time to be treated as our vacation. I've also heard comments in the past where people will say, well, I don't want to get too busy in service because this is my time of the year to have a break and have a vacation. And some people may not have 4 or 5 weeks of vacation, and all they have are 2 weeks of vacation. So maybe this is your only break from work, but it should not be viewed as a time of vacation. On vacation, you get to do what you want to do, and that's a good thing. We all need to take vacations. I'm not up here condemning vacations. They're very important in our life to take a break from everyday work and stress, and to have a vacation. But the Feast of Tabernacles is not to be viewed as our time. It's not to be viewed as a time for vacation. We shouldn't go to the Feast of Tabernacles with a thought and an attitude of, I'm going to do as I please. We come together as the Feast of Tabernacles to do as God pleases, as God instructs us to do. And He certainly gives us instructions. Another part of our worship during the fall holy day seasons is our offerings. Our offerings that we offer up to God the Father is a part of our worship of Him. When we offer our offerings on the holy days, we must come prepared to offer our best. The Israelites were instructed that as they prepared their offering heading into the fall holy days and also the spring holy days, was that they were to go out into their flocks and find the absolute best. Their choice to give an offering to God had to be without spot or blemish. They had to look over that calf or that sheep or that lamb or whatever the case was and make sure that it was the best that they had before they decided to give it to God. We need to put that same focus, that same thought, that same self-examination into our offering to God. It's very easy for the fall holy days to creep up on us. You're rushing around in the morning. You think, oh yeah, I got to give an offering today. You grab your envelope and you think, okay, what do I want to make the check out for? I've done that before, but that's not the right approach. We need to plan our offerings ahead of time if we can. Maybe even setting aside a little each time when we get paid and preparing that offering and giving thought to it. Making sure personally that we're giving the best that we can to God. That offering may not be a live goat or a live sheep, but we still need to inspect it to the same degree. Still need to make sure that our offerings are without spot and without blemish when we come before God on the holy days. What's another way of our worship to God as we go into these fall holy day season? What about our hymns? And we come together on the holy days and we sing our hymns. God loves to look down and He will be with us in spirit. He loves to be there in spirit and see us singing praises to Him. When we sing our hymns on the Sabbath or on any of the holy days or even the days during the feast that aren't holy, we come before God and we are offering our praise up to Him. And when we sing, it should come from our hearts, from the depth of our hearts, out of sincerity. Think about how happy you are to have your calling and to be there before God during the Feast of Tabernacles. Meditate on these things so you just don't show up for church, throw open the hymnal, and sing three hymns and sit down at the beginning of services. Psalms chapter 47, verse 1. This is a beautiful chapter that describes how God wants His people to be, especially during the fall holy days. Psalm 47, it's a short chapter. I'd like to read through the whole chapter. Psalm 47, beginning in verse 1. Oh, clap your hands, all you peoples. That's the way we should be approaching our worship and singing of hymns to God. So filled with zeal and enthusiasm to be called to be a part of the fall holy days that we're ready to put our hands together. Shout to God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is awesome. He is a great King over all the earth. He will subdue the peoples under us and the nations under our feet. He will choose our inheritance for us, the excellence of Jacob, whom He loves. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. God reigns over the nation. God sits on His holy throne. The princes of the people have gathered together, the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted. That's the mindset that we should have as we gather together every morning service or afternoon service, whichever the case may be, and we offer up our voices to God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. What we read in Psalms was the way God desires for us to approach Him in our worship. Colossians 3, verse 16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." Does the word of God dwell in us richly? Or is it sparsely there? "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." You see, it's a command from God that we come to Him in this kind of a mindset, focused on giving God praise, singing out to Him, appreciating everything that He's done for us. Another part of our worship to God in the Fall Holy Days is that of our Bible study and our personal prayers to God. As we go into the Fall Holy Days, it's not a time to take a break from our Bible studies and our prayers. It's a time to pour ourselves into it even deeper, studying about these days and what they mean, and what they mean not just for us, but for the entire world. Talk to God about His plan. Thank Him for it. All of the things that we've discussed here comprise our worship of God during the Fall Holy Day season. When you put these things together and you do them properly, you give them the proper forethought and planning and focus in your life, then after the feast and the Fall Holy Days are over, you won't have that feeling of regret or feeling that you just didn't get as much as you could have from the Fall Holy Day season. The second point is to rejoice in the Fall Holy Days. Rejoice in the Fall Holy Days. He wants us to enjoy this time of year. This will happen if we have the full meaning of these days in our mind. And that happens by pouring ourselves into God's Word, being rich in His Word. Our Father in Heaven is preparing these days for us. He goes before us, inspiring the men that are preparing the sermonettes and the sermons and the split sermons, so you can rejoice at the feast. God is working now. He has been working in preparing this Fall Holy Day season for you. We even looked and read back in Deuteronomy. If you want to flip back there real quick, we can go back there. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 11. Deuteronomy 16, verse 11, it says, "You shall rejoice before the Lord your God, you, your son, your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, the Levite who is within your gates, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow who are among you, at the place where the Lord your God chooses to make His name abide." See, God goes before His people and chooses the place and the location where you are to gather and to assemble to worship Him. Verse 12, "And you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and you shall be careful to observe these statutes." Be careful to be there and to do these things just as He has commanded. Verse 13, "You shall observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days. And when you have gathered from your threshing floor and from your wine press, and you shall rejoice in your feast, you and your son and your daughter." Again, it goes through your whole family And not just your family, but even your servants, if we had them. Everybody associated with your family was to rejoice. God wants us to rejoice, to enjoy these days, not just to go through them casually. One thing is for sure, that God is with us, and He wants to share in our joy. These days are not just for us. He created them for us, but He also created them for Himself, because it's a time for Him to commune and to be with His people as a whole, as they gather together to worship Him. Turn with me to Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. Says, "The Lord your God in your midst." When we gather together and assemble together, God is with us. God says He's with us even when two or three are gathered together. Much more so even the more of us that are gathered together during the fall holy day season. "The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness." When we come together during the fall holy day season, and we have our minds right and our hearts right, and we're focused on how we can encourage love between one another and good works between one another, God smiles upon that. He is happy with that. He's pleased with that. It says He will rejoice over you with gladness. Now, He doesn't do that if we just kind of went through the motions here and didn't really pour ourselves into the fall holiday season. But God wants us and commands us to pour ourselves into it. You can't fake rejoicing. That only comes naturally if you have prepared yourself for these days. It says, "He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with His love. He will rejoice over you with singing." Have you ever thought about that before? How God looks down upon you, upon us as a group, and is singing over us? That's the God that we worship. Just picture at the Feast of Tabernacles on that first service, and everybody breaks out into that first hymn. And God is probably right there singing along with us. He's a wonderful God. And He's given us the knowledge from His word of who He is to each of us. I want to read Isaiah chapter 62, verses 1 through 4. I want to read it from the New Living Translation. Isaiah 62, verses 1 through 4. It says, "Because I love Zion." Zion is His people, His church. "Because I love Zion, I will not keep still." He's saying, I'm so excited about my plan for my people, I cannot keep still. "Because my heart yearns for Jerusalem, I cannot remain silent." Do you ever feel that way? You're so excited, maybe you're wanting to surprise someone with something, and you're just thinking, oh, I can't wait to tell them. Well, that's the way God is about His plan for you. "I cannot remain silent. I will not stop praying for her until her righteousness shines like the dawn and her salvation blazes like a burning torch." He's talking about you and I after we've been born into His family, spiritually born into His family. Verse 2, "The nations will see your righteousness. World leaders will be blinded by your glory. And you will be given a new name by the Lord's own mouth." Verse 3, "The Lord will hold you in His hand for all to see." That's the God we worship. He's going to hold you out there for all of the world to see. He's going to say, look at what I have done. He's going to be so proud of you. The Lord will hold you in His hand for all to see, a splendid crown in the hand of God. Never again would you be called the forsaken city or the desolate land. Your new name will be the city of God's delight and the bride of God. For the Lord delights in you and will claim you as His bride. Do you get the picture of how excited God the Father and Jesus Christ are of you and your potential and what He's offering you? Even though this is a time to rejoice, there will no doubt be times of frustration and disagreements in the family. I know my wife and I have raised 3 children or adults, still working with our son Jacob. And there's been feasts in the past where there's been conflict in the family and frustration. But we need to make sure that we keep those moments under control. Keep them to a minimum. Make this time a very special blessing for our kids. It's so important that we tie these fall holy days in to our kids. So important. The kids need really good memories as they grow up about the fall holy day season. Make them special for them. I know in the past, we've always tried to allow our kids to choose what feast site that we attended. Of course, not everybody can go to Hawaii or something elaborate. But do what you can and what you can afford. I know there used to be a Feast of Tabernacles site in Dayton, and I attended there once or twice, but that was enough. And I can't imagine if a kid, and especially if you lived in Dayton, at the time you're like, I don't want to go to keep the feast in Dayton. You know, the kids are focused on physical things. They haven't developed that spiritual relationship with God. As parents and adults, a lot of times we don't really care where we keep the feast because it's going to be good wherever we're at. But kids need to be with their friends at the feast site and develop new friends. We as parents need to support that and help them to really be tied in to God's way through the physical keeping of the Feast of Tabernacles. Our focus as we head into these days needs to be positive, needs to be uplifting, needs to be filled with anticipation. And you can even do that with your children as well, on having a calendar countdown as you draw closer. That really builds the anticipation for the Feast of Tabernacles and Fall Holy Days as they draw closer. They need to be filled with positive, uplifting thoughts and anticipation of the coming days. The third point for today's sermon is serve God's people. Serve God's people. You often hear people explain, if you want to have a good feast, serve. And it is true. Going into the feast and in the fall time of the fall holy day season is a time to serve God's people, to serve one another. God intended this fall holy day season to be that way. That is a part of our commanded assembly. To serve one another any way we can. One of my most favorite things to do each year is to turn to Nehemiah chapter 8. If you would, go ahead and turn there. I love the story of Nehemiah chapter 8. This is a time in the history of Israel when Israel was coming out of captivity. Many of the people have not been observing God's laws or the holy days. Maybe some haven't even done it at any time in their life. And they're gathered together, and Nehemiah and some of his men reconstructed the walls of Jerusalem, which had been torn down and destroyed. And they were gathered together. And I want to start reading, actually, it's actually the last part of the last verse of chapter 7. It says, when the 7th month came, the children of Israel were in their cities. What's the seventh month? It's the beginning of God's fall holy day season, Feast of Trumpets. Feast of Trumpets is the first day of the seventh month. Verse 1 of chapter 8. Now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in front of the water gate. And they told Ezra, the scribe, to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women, and all who could hear with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. So it makes it very clear when this is taking place. Then he read from it, verse 3, in the open square that was in front of the water gate from morning until midday. You can't complain about my sermon length anymore. From morning until midday, before the men and women and those who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. See, they were focused in. They were excited to hear the words of the law. Keep in mind, they only had a few books of the Bible. They didn't have the whole Bible like we're blessed with today. They just had the law, the instructive part of God's word. Let's jump down to verse 5. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. That's how much respect they had for the word of God being preached and taught to them. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. Then all the people answered, Amen, Amen, while lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground, filled with enthusiasm for this time. Verse 8, so they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. So they had men scattered around through the people, explaining God's word, teaching them, helping them to understand the law. Verse 9, and Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites, who taught the people, said to all the people, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. When they heard how special this day was, they wept. They broke down and started crying about it, filled with that kind of emotion and zeal for the truth of God. Then he said to them, verse 10, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. You see, what he's telling them to do here is to go and find a way to encourage love, to encourage good works. Do for those around you on this special holy day. Serve your brother, is what it's telling them. Send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy to the Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites quieted all the people, saying, be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and drink, to send portions and rejoice greatly, because they understood the words that were declared to them. So inspiring to think and to see and to witness some of these of God's people that are receiving this in some cases for the first time. In all cases for a very long time, because they've been separated from it in their captivity. We need to approach the feast in the same way, with the same mindset, filled with enthusiasm, filled with the excitement, as if it was our first feast. And we should do so with a focus of finding how we can serve one another. How can we serve one another? And there's so many ways. Move on down to verse 18 of Nehemiah 8. It says, also day by day, from the first day until the last day. He read from the book of the laws, talking about the Feast of Tabernacles now. And they kept the feast 7 days. And on the 8th day, there was a sacred assembly according to the prescribed manner. They were filled with the joy of keeping the feast. We need to go to the feast with a spirit of giving. There are so many ways that we can serve one another. There's ushering, there's teaching youth classes, there's singing in the choir, offer to babysit a young couple that has 2 or 3 kids, allow them to go out for a night to enjoy a date or a dinner together. I remember back when we had our kids, and kids just keep you very busy at the feast. And when someone would come up to us and say, hey, I'd love to come over and watch Kyle and Sarah and Brad while you guys go out and have a dinner, that would make us so excited to have that a few hours to ourselves. It's a wonderful way to serve someone at the feast. You can host a party one night for the seniors or the elderly. It doesn't matter if you know them or not. That's not the point. One time we went down to Jekyll Island for the feast, and we were invited to a dinner of some folks that we had never met before. He turned out to be a tremendous young man. I don't think he was actually that young, and I'm sure he was married. I kind of hung around him most of the night, but we actually got to know them through a mutual friend that was at the feast. And he came up to us and he said, hey, I'm going over to so-and-so's house tonight. He's having kind of an open party. And he had rented a home right on the ocean and had a beautiful home, big open area where we could fellowship in and enjoy a meal together. And he said, I'm sure you wouldn't mind. Why don't you come on over? And I said, well, you know, I don't want to impose. And he said, no. He said, I'll ask him. But he said, I'm sure it's okay, because he said he does this almost every night of the feast. And sure enough, we got to meet the gentleman, and he was from up in the Boston area, up in the Northeast. And every year he would drive down to Jekyll Island from the New England area, and he would attach a big trailer to the back of his van, and he would put his charcoal grill in there and take it to the feast. And we went over to his home that night, and he had grilled salmon and steaks and everything else, and we just sat around and shared all kinds of feast stories. That was, to this day I remember that night. So these are the kind of things that you can serve other people and make them very memorable for people. Guys, men, serve your families. Help your wife out. She deals with the kids, especially if you have little kids, day in and day out, every day of the year. Give her a break. Let her have a day to go shopping or to spend it with some of her lady friends. Serve your families during this time. Make the feast a joy for your wife. Find ways of being extra helpful. While serving is extremely important at the feast, it's also extremely important that we do it in balance. And I learned that the hard way 1 year. We had decided to go to, at that time the feast was held in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. And we were obviously in the Dayton congregation, and Frank McCready was our pastor. And we didn't do it intentionally, but as time wore on towards the Feast of Tabernacles, we found ourselves in charge of the Dixie Stampede, which took a couple months before the feast, and letting everybody email us their ticket requests and sending us money ahead of time, because we had to have most of it paid before the feast even started. Which we created spreadsheets on the laptop to keep track of who's paid and who hadn't. And then as the feast started, we had our own special booth, which was kind of in a closet where people could come up after services, and we take additional ticket orders for people, and we had to balance the money. Then there came a time when we had to go and pay the final bill to the Dixie Stampede, and we were just overwhelmed. And on top of that, that year, and I'm probably forgetting something, but I know that we also took care of Family Day, which was up on top of the mountain at Ober Gatlinburg, and also the family dance. And about halfway through the feast, we had frustrated Jacob so much, and I don't know how many years ago that was, probably 5 or 6 years ago. And he was just spending the whole, every day, the whole day with us. Because as soon as church was over, we had to stay after church. We had to get there before church real early. And then when it was done, we had to go back to the cabin we rented up in the mountain and balance all the spreadsheets and count the money and make sure everything was organized. And before it was over, before we knew it, half the feast was gone, and we didn't hardly do anything for him for the feast. And he kind of turned into grumbling as a little kid would. And I don't blame him. But we took it and way out of balance. And I told Joan, I told Frank McCready that. I said, we've taken on too much. I said, this is way too much. And he said, yeah, that's not good. He said, I'm sorry about that. But, you know, it's just kind of one of those things that just kind of developed and happened. And the next thing you know, you're overwhelmed and you haven't enjoyed the feast. We need to serve, but we need to do it in balance. And too often it's easy for us as men and even ladies to get involved, and you have so many responsibilities coming at you, and you just keep saying, yes, yes, sure, I'll do it, yes, sure. But then it becomes too much. When it comes to serving, you can tell whether or not you're at a right point with it, because serving others should not bring pain to someone else. Serving others should not bring pain or discomfort to someone else. Serving should be a blessing and a joy for everyone when it's done right and in balance. But we do need to approach the fall holiday season in a spirit of giving. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. It says, give, Jesus Christ is saying this here, give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use it, it will be measured back to you. And sure, you can look at these words of Christ and say, well, he's talking about money, and certainly it relates to the giving of an offering or giving to someone else. But it also has to do with your service and how you offer yourself to someone else. If you serve others and you have that outgoing perspective of giving and helping others, God will make sure that it comes back to you when you need it as well. We are all called to be servants, to serve one another. Jesus Christ was the Son of God. How did he view himself? He was completely righteous, never sinned, never did anything wrong. How did Jesus Christ view himself? In Mark chapter 10, verse 45, Mark chapter 10, verse 45, it says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus Christ had the complete focus when he walked this earth of serving his brethren, of serving mankind. Our God that we worship is a giver. He has given us so much and we deserve none of it. He gives generously to you and to I in many ways. He's given you his Spirit, a part of who he is. And with that Spirit, there are many different gifts that you can share with others. That's why God gives us the gifts of his Spirit. Not to make you look good. Not to make you think, well, you know, God's given me this talent. I'm so much better than everyone else. I can play the piano. I can sing better. God gave you those gifts, and it is a gift from God, so you can give to others. God gives to us. We are to let those gifts just flow from us. We need to recognize our gifts. Trust me, one of my gifts is not singing. I wish it was, but it's not singing. If I started singing right now, you'd say, Bert, it's not your gift. It's not your gift. Don't share that. God wants us to share our gifts. If God did give me a good singing voice, but I refuse to get up in front of anybody or to share it with someone else. Is that a good thing? It's not. We shouldn't cover or depress the gifts that God gives us. We need to put them out. We need to recognize what our gifts are and then put them to work to serve our brothers, to stir up love, and to stir up good works. And when you give your gifts to others, whatever God has given you as a gift, that is stirring up love. It's stirring up good works amongst the brethren. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. There's two verses that are an appropriate message for God's people as we head into the fall holy day season. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 9. Notice what it says here for us. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Make it come naturally from you. Think about the gift that God has given you and give to one another without grumbling about it. Verse 10, as each one has received a gift, and we all have in different ways and different types, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. Don't hold it back. Give it to one another. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You know what a manifold is? Same thing as a manifold on a car. It takes what's coming in and disperses it out to a different part of the body. We are to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. This fall holy day season, go into it with full zeal. Full zeal in your worship, in your rejoicing, and in your service to others. And make it the best fall holy day season ever. Have a great rest of the Sabbath day. And a tremendous Feast of Tabernacles.